Welcome, patrons, to our review of Jackie Brown.
What do a stewardess, a gunrunner, a bail bondsman, an ex-con, a federal agent, and a beach bunny have in common?
You don't come in on this thing with me. You got to be prepared to go all the way.
They're all chasing a $500,000 in cash.
Wouldn't even be missed.
$500,000 will always be missed.
Let him get the money and then just take it from him.
She's trying to play your ass against me, huh?
That was fun.
Yeah, I don't hit the spot.
There's only one question. Who's playing who?
Let's make a deal.
Oh, yeah? So what you gonna give us?
Are you gonna offer to set him up?
Yeah.
So, Jackie Brown, released in 1997, starring Pam Grier, Samuel L. Jackson, Robert Forster, Bridget Fonda, Michael Keaton, Chris Tucker, Robert De Niro, directed by Quentin Tarantino. Oh, that name rolls off the tongue.
Whoa. Can't wait for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, that's coming soon. And so will I.
Can you wait till I leave at least?
No, you have to be here. So this is Quentin Tarantino's first and only film to be adapted from a pre-existing material.
Yes, the book Rum Punch.
Yes, Elmore Leonard's novel. Tarantino and Roger Avery acquired the film rights to Rum Punch. They also got the rights to Freaky Deaky and Kill Shot. They were originally going to do one of those two, but decided to make Rum Punch instead, considering that he fell in love with the novel all over again as soon as he read it one more time. He was actually afraid that Elmore Leonard would hate the film once he'd done it.
He and Roger Avery. I wonder how much Tarantino added to it.
I'm sure he's done a lot of different extras to this film.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, there's definitely moments here I was like, wow, there's no way this was in the book.
Yeah, absolutely. They were actually pretty hesitant to discuss the changes with Leonard. Finally speaking with him as the film was about to start shooting. They waited that long. Just when they were about to start shooting, like, hey, what do you think of these changes?
Why would you bother, honestly? If you've bought the rights, you've literally got the right to do whatever you want with
it. Yeah, but they want to get him involved, get his take on it. He made the original story. Why not get his opinion on it?
I mean, they're not going to change it at that point, obviously.
Probably
when they're
not
about to start filming, so.
But luckily, Leonard absolutely loved the screenplay, considering it not only the best of the 26 screen adaptations his novels and short stories had been made of, but also stating that it was possibly the best screenplay he'd ever read. It's a bit of a hyperbole there.
I mean, it's Tarantino's screenplay.
Tarantino probably said that. So Pam Grier had originally screen tested for a part in Pulp Fiction that actually went to Rosanna Arquette, that role.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The drugged up chick.
That's the one. Tarantino didn't forget her, however, obviously, because he made Jackie Brown especially for her. There was no other person that he was thinking of.
Jackie Brown especially for her. I mean, thank God he did. I would have no idea who Pam Grier was otherwise.
Yeah, I'm not very well versed in the 70s blaxploitation films.
Obviously, people would know more about her now having seen BlacKkKlansman, though. She gets a few mentions in that.
Yeah, there you go. Just looking at a couple of different casting choices here. Sylvester Stallone was originally going to play Lewis.
Lewis? I mean, casting Stallone is never a good choice.
Also, John Travolta was the first choice to play Ray, which eventually went to Michael Keaton.
I mean, I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it.
It's hard to see them after you watch any movie, really, and you see these people acting the characters, you're like, yeah, you do it. That's your role.
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino's list for Max Cherry, he had Paul Newman, Gene Hackman, and eventually Robert Forster.
Gee, I don't think Gene Hackman would have worked.
No, that wouldn't have been
good. Too much cunt in him. No?
I mean, we are doing a Tarantino film, but he's up on the language, all right?
All right, I'll try and do better moving forward.
Tarantino actually met Robert Forster in a restaurant and handed him the script saying, you're going to do this, and that's all there is to it.
Because you have nothing else going
that's
on in
right.
your life.
Forster was obviously thrilled.
Obviously available.
Having a major career slump at the time.
Well, Tarantino is known for bringing out like older actors, you know, past their prime back into the limelight.
And here's another big reason that Robert Forster got nominated for Best Supporting Actor for this film, the only nomination it received.
Crazy.
Crazy? You're not a fan of his work here?
No. Hmm. Not overly. Are you?
I don't mind it.
Yeah, but come on.
What?
It's okay.
Yeah,
but
it's fine.
It's not Oscar nom worthy. He's not the best performance in this movie by a long way.
Who do you think's a better supporter in this film?
I mean, Sam Jackson.
Yeah, Sam Jackson, though.
Yeah, Robert Forster is Robert Forster. You just don't know that because you haven't seen enough Robert Forster.
Yep, stands out for me.
He's always like that.
Good on him. Give him a supporting role in all these films.
No. He's just boring. He's a boring man.
How dare you? This is an Academy Award nominated actor. This film had a budget of $12 million and grossed $39 million in America and $74 million worldwide. So, did all right.
Did it? I mean, it made a lot of money, obviously, yeah. So.
Samuel L. Jackson said that this is his favourite Quentin Tarantino film.
But, I mean, this is coming off the back of the enormous Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you think that has a lot to do with the gross?
I feel like it probably pumped up the gross, yeah.
Absolutely. Of course it does. Speaking of Samuel L. Jackson, he is notorious for saying motherfucker in all of his R-rated films.
I was wondering where you're going with that one.
He says it 37 times in this film, and as of 2018, still holds the record number of times he said it in any movie he's been in.
Motherfucker.
And this film does have an average of 7.5 over 280,000 ratings. I think that's bottom tier Tarantino, considering there's only three films not in the top 250. I say three because Kill Bill, generally, to me, is one single film.
Yes.
And I know we've had this discussion a little while ago about, is Kill Bill one and two separate films? I know you haven't seen the trailer for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but it does say in the trailer, the ninth film by Quentin Tarantino.
Meaning it is one film?
Yes. Because Hateful Eight is the eighth film.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Does that mean he'll do a 10th film? I always heard that he would do 10 films.
I've heard a lot of different things. He's going to do a Star Trek film.
This is his last film.
You hear a bunch of shit all the time. Who knows what's going to happen with Tarantino? Anyway, Dean, let's get into it. One thing I like about this film in general is...
The music?
The music is fantastic.
Ooh,
I love this music.
It's great.
I was also going to say the simplicity of it as well. This is a very almost straight linear structure. And I don't mind that. I don't mind having a generally simple Tarantino film like that.
Yeah. I mean, there's still cuts, obviously, but nothing compared to Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs.
Everything else.
I mean, I was just thinking about, obviously, Kill Bill is not chronological.
Hateful Eight.
Is not. Gee, it's been a while since I've seen Hateful Eight.
I think Death Proof is linear. Inglourious Bastards, I think there's a little bit of difference there. There's chapters in that, so that's going to bounce around the place.
I don't think the chapters do bounce around.
Do they? I can't remember. We'll be checking that out eventually.
Have we missed a Tarantino film?
Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, True Romance, according to you, apparently.
Yeah, he did make that film, so that's linear, I believe.
Well, I love when you contradict your words, because I don't believe you remember in our Shaun of the Dead episode, you said this.
Have you seen Paul?
No, I have not.
No, I haven't seen it either.
If it was an Edgar Wright film, I would have seen it.
Absolutely.
Is Nick Frost in that?
Yeah, it's them two, and the alien.
Why would Edgar Wright not have directed that?
Maybe it was not his script. I think Edgar Wright does his scripts. I mean, he's done five films. I'm pretty sure he made them all.
Yep. Do you mean he wrote them all?
I think so.
Okay. I think it's so sad, Hendo, how much of a sore loser you are that you go and listen to our entire back catalogue to find any semblance of a little grain of salt you can cling on to in the desperate attempt to make yourself feel better about losing to me. Again, I might add.
Hey, that was your words. You said it. Just coincidence I happened to stumble across it.
Yes, coincidence. Like you haven't just taken the last 5 days off work.
It's not like I have every podcast transcripted and search for specific words to contradict yourself.
Yeah, not at all.
So this first shot where she's on the flat escalator.
Yeah, I've probably seen this film 8 times, and I reckon this is the second time that I've ever watched it. This is an instant fast forward.
Really?
Skip
even
ahead.
With Street Life playing?
Oh, I love it. So long. It's way too much Pam Grier for my liking. Just that close up of it just moving. It's like, okay, I get it. Like, don't get me wrong. I didn't watch this and go, man, this is boring, but I could see why I kept, skipping this bit.
Okay, whatever. I thought it was fine. The music definitely helps. And we get straight into Ordell and Lewis watching a video on guns. Chicks who love guns.
Chicks who love guns.
Interesting video.
Yeah, I mean, Ordell here, he sounds extremely knowledgeable.
Yes, he does. Sounds smart.
He sounds very smart. And then you get Melanie come in when Ordell's walked away, and she just, like, rips through him, just... Yeah. Takes away any credit that he had built up with the audience and says, nah, it's just repeating shit that he overheard. It's like, I don't know. And it's interesting seeing Lewis's sort of journey through this movie, because this is such a different performance from Robert De Niro.
He is very subdued and timid throughout this film.
Except for one bit, but
at the end, yeah.
He's extraordinarily timid. He's just this, like, this stoner guy, even when he's sober. He's just... Yeah, cool. Whatever.
They're the ones you got to look out for, because when they snap, they snap.
Man. Yeah. I love that bit. Can't wait to get to that.
What do you think of the Samuel L. Jackson look in this film?
Oh, awesome.
It was his idea. It was his idea to look like that.
It's great. Anytime,
long hair and a little tiny little long goatee.
Anytime you want to mess with Sam Jackson's look, do it. You look at him in Pulp Fiction, and his look there is iconic. His little, what are they, Jerry curls?
Jerry curls, yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah, I think he tries to look different in every single movie he's in. Like, look at Glass, look at the hair. He goes to, like, bald, and there's bald and goatee, and there's bald and bald, and,
yeah.
And then there's this.
And super white.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Oh, Django, that's one we forgot to mention earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Is that linear?
That is, yeah, that is linear.
Yeah. How did we forget Django?
Yeah.
Anyway, did you like all the foot fetish stuff in this film?
Oh, mate. This is like...
It was just overkill in this film.
Oh, I'll tell you something. I just watched From Dusk Till Dawn the other day. There is Quentin Tarantino drinking spirits from Selma Hayek's feet. He's got her feet in his mouth. He's all about the feet. I don't think it's just Tarantino films. I think it's Tarantino.
Do you think he knew that they were filming?
He's like, wait, we can start recording now, right?
Selma Hayek just like looks around and she's like, there's no cameras. Oh, guys, come on. We should be filming this. This is good stuff.
It's like, no, there's a camera. There's a camera in the corner up in there. There's a camera over there. You can't see them. They're there. So this whole segment here where you get Beaumont on
you
the phone.
You get 30 minutes without Pam Grier.
This is basically just sets up how bad Ordell is and the lengths he will go to protect himself.
I mean, yes, that's one thing it does, but I don't think that is its purpose. I think what the purpose of this first 30 minutes really is to set up what should have happened when Jackie Brown got out of prison.
Yeah, of course. But it is still showing what I said, that Ordell is going to do whatever it takes to not be in prison or to not take the rap.
Yeah, it's fine. But the tension that you get from when Jackie Brown gets out of prison is only there because we've seen how Ordell handles everything.
Yes, I know.
So, okay, good. Why are you acting like I'm disagreeing with you?
You are. You sound like you are, but you're just repeating what I'm saying in a way.
In a better way.
Oh, of course, to Dean in a better way. Kind of the same way.
Well, not really, because you're just saying, oh, it's good because you see he's a bad guy. It's like, yeah, but we need to know that because it increases the scenes in the later on in the movie.
That's fine. I'm not disagreeing with you. Moving on.
Gee, you're really up and about tonight, Hendo. Oh, what'd you make of Chris Tucker? How good was Chris Tucker in this film?
Probably his best role I've seen him in. His least annoying role I've seen him in.
I won't say it because of N-word stuff, but this bit here has the best quote. Like, I hate to be the kind of I can't even do it because there's so many uses of it. But when he's saying, I hate to be that guy that like asks for a favor and then bam, what's favor in return? But I got to be that guy. It's like, what's that? Love it.
Ordell is so smooth here. If you didn't know any better, if this is your first time watching, you didn't know what happened. This is just feels like that's what's going to happen. Like, get in the trunk. I need to go rob these Chinese people and you're going to help me. And you'd believe him. I mean, it takes a bit of convincing to get Beaumont in the trunk. Man, I don't get in that trunk for no minute. And especially that shot that pans up and you see him just literally drive around the corner into the empty spot, open the trunk and just shoot him just immediately. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, nah. Sam Jackson is honestly, for me, as sharp as he was in Pulp Fiction here. In this scene, I love this scene.
He's very good.
Yeah, it really is. And I love the way he's saying all this stuff like, all right, this is what I'm going to do with my lawyer. We're going to do this. Then tomorrow, we're going to go see this guy and this guy and this guy. Because the audience has no idea. If you haven't seen this before, you have no idea. Like, Chris Tucker is someone that is just one and done scene.
Yeah.
So good. Oh, we skipped the Max Cherry introduction. Your favorite.
Is it? Robert Forster. Is he my favorite?
Well, you crapped on about him.
Because he got nominated.
Did you catch the Mandingo reference?
No, I didn't.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Ordell walks in and sees the photo of Winston. What do you know Winston from? Oh, wow.
Nah, you got me. What is it? I won't sit here for too long.
Friday?
Oh, I mean.
And The Dark Knight. He's a big prison guy on one of the boats.
Okay, they're really small bits. I'm not going to remember Friday. Not enough.
Got no culture about you. Anyway, Ordell's just like, who's that big Mandingo? N-word. But just in this bondsman scene here, I just think that there's real classic Tarantino dialogue here where other directors would just ignore it completely, whereas here we get this whole conversation about how to work Ordell's car keys.
Oh, yeah, just the general classic conversation in this film. Yeah, that's what makes Tarantino stand out above pretty generic normal directors. Yeah,
stands above everyone with his dialogue, honestly.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, like, so you got Max Cherry on the phone and just this casual convo between Ordell and Lewis.
And then after that, you get 30 seconds on, where do I put my ash?
Yep.
You know? It's like, what about, use this cup, you know? Like, it's these little details that really flesh out films for me from Tarantino and make him feel like the world's really lived in.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just, right, let's drive this plot. Let's hit, points A, B, C, D, E. It is, let's see everything that happens
around.
Because
it would be boring if it was just plot, plot, plot. You need to get these characters, getting developed. And a simple conversation like this just shows us a bit more about these people.
Sorry to jump around, but back at...
it's all right, it's classic Tarantino.
Back at Chris Tucker's Beaumont's joint, the Johnny Cochran mention, this would easily be the only time I've ever gotten that reference.
What, after you've seen The People versus OJ?
Yes. Like, I didn't know anything about that. So, yeah, no, it was...
Speaking of Johnny Cochran, do you now find the Seinfeld reference funny now with Kramer's lawyer? Just a complete ripoff of Johnny Cochran.
It is, but...
It's egregious? Outrageous?
Yeah, it was... It's not. I don't think it's funnier now. No, I always thought it was funny. It's not funnier for me now, but it's just interesting to know where it's come from.
Fair enough.
What about you?
Well, I knew about the Johnny Cochran reference long before you did.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at you, all knowledgeable and stuff.
Yeah, I pull it out every once in a while, and I just realized what I said.
Well, you're not wrong. All right, what do we got here? Oh, Baby Love, The Supremes. What'd you make of young Simone here? I'm just doing my thing that I do.
Well, it's not part of anything. That was one and done.
Oh, poor Simone.
I'm more concerned about Jackie getting done by the cops here for having 50K stashed in her bag.
Did you recognise the other cop, not Michael Keaton?
Yeah, Michael Bowen. Buck.
I'm Buck. Again, I never recognised him.
He's
before.
Gone downhill from his role at the police force.
Oh God, that's Buck.
Did you know that Michael Keaton's Ray is also in Out of Sight, the exact character?
No?
Yeah.
I've never seen Out of Sight.
Oh, it's not bad. It's pretty good.
Is that the Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah, George Clooney, Steven Soderbergh film.
Soderbergh!
Yeah, good film. It came out about a year after this, and he plays a little small role. And it was just like a, wink, wink to Tarantino and Soderbergh that might have been buds. And like, hey, use the same character, why not? One of the weird little crossovers.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Jackie gets done for... some drugs in the bag of cash as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. But we didn't know that Jackie was doing any of this from that first scene of her moving slowly with the music playing. You think that she's just this normal flight attendant, and then all of a sudden she gets done for cash here and drugs.
Yeah. I mean, watching that first scene again now, the way that they focus on all these bags getting x-rayed and Jackie just walks straight on through, I was like... Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
You can see that confidence there. Like, she doesn't have to get her bag checked here. Where, I mean, when they pull out all the money, it's obvious that she's in on it.
Mm. And she's clearly working for Ordell.
But it's also clear that she didn't know the drugs were there.
Yeah.
I like Ordell's reaction. Like, they got her on intent. 44-year-old black woman, and they got her on intent?
okay, you're making me come around here. I think Samuel L. Jackson is a lot better than what I initially said. Like, he's just Samuel L. Jackson. No, he's...
Oh, he's
a lot
really
better than what I said.
In this movie. Yeah.
But the bond is set for Jackie, 10K. And, of course, Ordell doesn't want her in the prison. So he starts doing what he did with Beaumont. But as he goes back to Max Cherry, he's like, can you just move that 10K over to her?
No, that was actually, I did like that scene because Max is like, all right, he's talking at like all this paperwork. And he's like, no, I just want you to know I've got to do all this work to do it. And he's like, oh, I'll need another 1,000. And he's like, oh, no, I don't have it. I'll get it. And he's just like, he really like stands his ground, Max Cherry here. Hmm. And eventually Ordell just, all right, and pulls it out of his pocket. I was like, you sly motherfucker.
And then we get Max dropping off someone else, picking up Jackie. And you get that soulful music playing as she's coming up. I mean, Max is keen.
He's smitten. Yeah, and for me personally, this is probably my least favourite thing about the film.
The relationship between them two?
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Don't you need some sort of relationship here so they work together?
I mean, yeah, you need it. I just don't buy the chemistry between these two actors.
Okay. I didn't think anything of it. Well, they're okay.
Well, now that you have thought about it.
Still haven't.
You haven't thought about it.
No, I'm thinking about Ordell waiting for Jackie at home. I thought this was great. When he comes in, it's that intimidating Ordell, but he's doing it in that cool way, like he did with Beaumont. You definitely feel
cool. He literally turns the lights off and walks towards her. I'm like, mate, this isn't subtle. Like, it's meant to be like a subtle intimidation. This is blatant.
I love the split screen when this is happening, when Cherry finds out that his gun's missing.
Cherry,
yeah. He gets last name basis now.
Okay.
But then
you were a Robert Forster fan.
But then as soon as you realize the gun's gone and Jackie pulls the gun out, they completely reverse roles here. Like, Ordell just goes, hey, what are you doing? And she just goes, back the fuck off, man. Just goes,
shut your raggedy ass
off. I was crying, like, jeez, calm down.
Calm down.
This is how she just changes. She just snaps in a heartbeat.
He's potentially about to kill her.
She's got the gun now.
Calm down, Jackie.
Bro, break my foot off in your ass.
But again, we get this somewhat cringy scene with Max and Jackie Brown the following morning.
Yeah.
Where they're talking about the CDs to records. We get Delphonics. Like, this Delphonics song, they play it, what, 8-10 times in this film?
It's a good song.
You're a fan, are you?
I don't mind it.
You got it on vinyl?
Not on vinyl. I might have it on
Spotify.
Digital. Probably Spotify. Did it ever get confusing for you with who's double-crossing who here? Who's actually working with who? Because no. We get to the point where...
Who did you find confusing?
No, I'm asking you.
And I'm saying no, like, that's an odd question. So, obviously, you did find some of it confusing.
No, because I've seen
why
this...
Why would you ask that question?
Because for someone who had seen it once, probably would get confused.
How many times have you seen this?
I think this might have been my fourth, maybe third.
Third's not a lot.
Well, how many times have you seen it?
I said earlier, do you not listen when I speak?
No, not when you speak.
Well, I'm not going to repeat myself. Why don't you just find out when you re-listen to it. I'll just get it
on the transcript.
I like the scene between Ordell, Lewis, and Melanie. And Ordell walks in. He's like, geez, girl, you're getting high already? It's 10 o'clock. Is that late?
Oh, this is when he...
I get high at night.
This is when he buggers off to the bar to see Jackie. And this conversation between Mel and Lewis about, you know, it's just general conversation about her when she was younger.
Oh, the Japan, like who didn't make the photo, all that stuff, yeah.
And then just, you know, casual, one fuck, okay. And just cut 3 minutes later. That's generous.
I like the 3 minutes later. That's funny. He's just like, he's just like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, why not?
They really hit the spot. But it's so worth it having this weird little sex scene here because this, when Lewis tells Ordell, like, he's really unsure about it.
Yeah,
he's like, is she like your girlfriend? Nah, she's just some super chick I have hanging around. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, we had sex. I hope you felt considerably guilty afterwards.
Yeah, afterwards I did. Yes,
afterwards I did.
Yes, I did. And even later on when Ordell is back at the place and Mel is rubbing her leg against him and Lewis is still that timid, he like bats her away and she, you know, she mutters that pussy under her breath. Now that's going to start to piss him off a little bit. This is probably the deterioration of this little relationship.
I don't think he cares for it at all, ever.
I mean, the majority of the film, Lewis spends his time with Mel.
Mm.
So you got to have that little bit there. Yeah, I think so. He does. It has a couple of scenes with Ordell, but most of the time, he's with Mel.
Okay. What do you make of Bridget Fonda? Do you know her from much?
No. I think she's in like a La Femme Nikita kind of movie.
She's in A Simple Plan.
Yeah, I watched that a couple of years ago. I don't remember her. Billy Bob Thornton? Paxton?
Yeah, that's the one.
Those are the two I remember.
It's a good movie. So it's here we see the Del Amo Mall for the first time. And we got Ordell and Jackie talking about the plan. He leaves. And on his way out, he sees Max. And this is really the first time where he sort of hides behind a shop and like watches Max sit down with Jack. And he's like, what the fuck is going on here?
What is going on?
Yeah. But we get Jackie here asking Max if he would take the $500,000, right? And we've also had Melanie ask Lewis, would he take the money? Lewis has spoken to Ordell about, you know, I think Melanie wants to take this money. So we're starting to build up this there's multiple people who can get the money here.
But you've also got Jackie helping out the cops in getting Ordell done here. But Ordell knows that she's doing that and is under the belief that she is on his side. So she's double playing everyone.
Man, that scene where Jackie tells Ordell what she's told the cops, that is so funny.
Yeah.
So, no, I really like all that. I mean, it's a funny movie.
It is funny, yeah.
I forgot how funny this movie was.
We get a little title card here, Money Exchange Trial Run. This is not how it goes down, though.
No, but at least we've got expectations for how it's meant to go for when it actually does happen. So we see how it should go, then we see it get fucked up.
Yeah, don't we have it? Jackie exchanges a bag with this first woman, they leave, the cops follow this woman, and then the woman next to her,
Simone,
yeah, takes the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is when Max also sees this. He's like, shifty, shifty. I see what's going on here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, like you said, this is what we are expecting coming up for the real run.
And it's understandable that Jackie's so angry with Ordell, because even though that doesn't affect her at all, but if she's trying to, like, change the plan to help her, she can't have Ordell doing his own thing to mess that up.
Exactly.
So we're at the real money exchange now, and I love where Ordell calls the house. Lewis answers. He's like, what the fuck? You haven't left yet? It's like, oh, I'm waiting on her, you know. Go in there, grab that bitch's hair, pull her out.
And I reckon this is not just Lewis in terms of him snapping, but it's listening to Ordell as well. Like, he's got to assert himself a bit more. I don't know how much assertiveness he's done in his past, but probably, yeah, getting frustrated with Mel and having Ordell in your ear saying, you better fucking do this, you better take control of her. I think he takes it one step too far, obviously. And this is where we get the non-linear breakage here. We have the different times that come up when each individual set of teams come in, and we get piece by piece of what's actually happening in this this clothes shop. And even when Lewis and Mel rock up, and he's just, this is the Robert De Niro we're used to.
Yeah, this... I saw him here. Like, you know.
Give me the fucking bag. It's like he's really ready to knock it the fuck out.
Robert De Niro is great in this scene. So what'd you make of him shooting her?
I mean, he snaps.
It's great. It's so unexpected.
Yeah, when I saw it the first time, and he's like, don't say a word. Okay, like, bang. Bang and bang. I'm like, wow.
See, car's right there. Told you.
Now, that was good. Do you notice how non-violent this film is? This is definitely Tarantino having a bit of a nod to the naysayers out there that said he was just all about the violence. He can't make a non-violent film. So he's like, you know what? Fuck you guys. I'm going to make this film, which is not violent at all. No. It's going to be incredibly language-filled. Yeah. I can't get rid of that.
Yeah. I really think the language would have bothered a lot of people as well.
I think that was his intention.
Yeah. It's really full on, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was watching it like, Jesus, Tarantino.
Calm down. Do you think... Well, we know that Lewis was probably a bit hasty in his shooting of Mel. What about Ordell shooting Lewis?
I don't blame him. This was terrible from Lewis.
Just everything in general, though. Like, he shoots Mel. He does... Like, the bag... Is the bag his fault?
Is the bag his fault? Maybe, but maybe not. But it's more like, I shot her. What the fuck? And it's like, I shot her two times. Is she dead? I think so. You don't know? Are you telling me she might be laying there alive?
He's quite incompetent. No wonder he's in prison for, several months or was it 4 months or 4 years?
4 years.
4 years
for
okay.
Bank robbery.
Yeah.
Nah, this scene with Ordell and Lewis is one of the best.
It is a good conversation. Two quality actors having a pretty decent conversation.
Yeah.
What happened to you, man? You used to be beautiful.
Used to be beautiful.
What about this whole bit with Ordell wanting to see Jackie about the money and going to the bail bonds, Max taking him?
It's a bit laborious.
I think it's kind of sloppy on Ordell's behalf. Like, he literally just walks in and he's dead. Just walks in and gets shot. Like, I thought you're a bit smarter than that. Maybe you're not as smart as we thought, and Mel was right that you just talk a bunch of shit acting like you're smart.
I don't know. He's obviously blinded by the money, but it makes no sense. Like, as he said himself, like, if there was nothing in there, then you could argue that, yeah, Jackie wasn't screwing you.
Mm.
But she filled it with books, and he says that to Lewis, like, she's trying to screw him.
Yeah, so let's go into a dark room and what? Oh, yeah, I just... Not very smart.
No.
And she gets away with it. So her idea was smart.
Yeah, Max takes his 10%, cool 50 grand.
Gets a smooch.
I mean, one of the worst on-screen kisses I've ever seen, I think. What, you felt the no, love there?
Not really.
Oh, it's just nothing.
And even when she drives off to Across 110th Street, it's a good song. I like that one too.
Well, it's what the film opened to.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. Street Life was playing at the start.
And Across 110th Street.
All right. It's all about streets.
It is.
And she, when she's driving off, she looks upset. She's sad at what's happened, but she starts to get a little happy because she's just made, just under $500,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, so good on her.
Good on her for someone who earns $16,000 a year.
That's rough.
It's the equivalent of about $26,000 today.
Mate, I was making more than that when I was...
All right, big shot.
20.
Jesus, look out. Fucking hell, man.
You got tickets on yourself, haven't you, Governor?
Jesus.
All right, that's Jackie Brown. What do you think overall, Dean?
Yeah, overall, fantastic Tarantino film. A bit long. I did feel that the ending was a touch long for me. The Max character, as I said, really depressing character. Brings the levity of the film too far down. The storyline, it's not overly complicated either. But again, the performances from the likes of Sam Jackson, Pam Grier, and Tarantino is just unrivaled writing. Just, yeah, really elevate it for me. Great film. Seen heaps. I'd say it again. 4 stars. What about you, Hendo?
I love that Tarantino can do a much more simpler film that doesn't have to be super stylish and pay a lot of homages to classic Asian cinema or Westerns and that.
Kung Fu.
Yeah, he can throw in a bit of blaxploitation and it works so well. Almost completely linear. He can pull it off. Because he has these great characters, he writes them so well with these conversations in between the plot that builds their characteristics, and you care about what happens later on when you finally get into the meat of this movie, which is this huge, big, who's going to take this cash, this double, triple cross thing going on, which does break the linear mold, and you go back and forth as to what everyone is doing at that time. There are a couple of, iffy instances. I don't think it ran for too long. I didn't feel the runtime at all. I think the ultimate demise of Ordell was handled poorly. There isn't too much negativity for me with this film.
That's right. You're a big Robert Forster fan.
Oh, yeah. Robert Forster. He gets a staff just for himself. No. He's okay. He's not bad. Better than what I've seen him in and everything else, which is nothing.
I would dispute that.
Oh, me, myself, and Irene?
There you go.
Yeah, there's one.
He's a cop, is he?
He's the...
Oh, the dad.
No, he's
a cop.
He's the main cop. He's like, the police chief, whatever it is. The Mountie. Anyway, Jackie Brown. Solid Tarantino film. Solid film. 4 stars as well.
Very nice.
All right, that's going to do it for Jackie Brown, Dean. Now we've got two more Tarantino films coming up in Death Proof and The Hateful Eight. But we're going to give a little more to you lovely patrons. And after those two films, we are going to do one more Tarantino film that's from the top 250 list. We're going to do a full breakdown for you just for you guys. And we're going to let you guys choose. So we'll put a poll up at some point over the next week or two. And you guys get to vote on which one you want us to break down. Is it going to be Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, or Inglourious Basterds?
I mean, with... When you got those three, I don't care.
It doesn't matter to me. Yeah. Any of those three would be great.
They're all quite good.
So that's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks' time. But once again, thank you very much, patrons. And we will see you next week for Death Proof.
Bye.